Episode 2267, My Strength is My Story with John Lee Dumas, The Common Path to Uncommon Success.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us John Lee Dumas in the house. He is my friend and mentor. Yes, believe it or not, he also is a daily podcaster. I cannot wait for you to hear his heart. You're going to fall in love. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of John's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. This episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. Well, John is one who definitely creates impact. He has been interviewing entrepreneurs for a long time, let's just say, over 3,000. But the interesting story is how he got there, where his heart led him. So he shares a business side, but more importantly, he shares his heart. You see where he gets his drive from, where it comes from, and whom he desires to continue to serve. So without further ado, let's welcome in John Lee Dumas, The Common Path to Uncommon Success. Get ready to ignite. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have someone in the house that I have been following for years. His name is John Lee Dumas. Oh yes, he's an entrepreneur on fire. He is the founder and host of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire. His community, Podcasters Paradise, has given him the opportunity to mentor and coach thousands of podcasters around the world. With over 1 million monthly listens and seven figures of annual revenue, John Lee Dumas is spreading entrepreneurial fire on a global scale. He is a speaker and author with his latest project, his first traditionally published book, The Common Path to Uncommon Success, a roadmap to financial freedom and fulfillment. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
You know, I am fired up to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to a great conversation today.
Well, it is going to be a blast, I know. Before we dive in, though, to the book, I have to ask you, what brings you joy?
You know what brings me joy? One word. Freedom. And what I mean by freedom is waking up in the morning and having these three things: the ability to do what I want, when I want, with whom I want to do it with. And that to me truly brings me joy, specifically because I've had the flip side of that. I was an officer in the U.S. Army for 8 years, and I did not own any minutes of my time for that time period. And I really felt constricted as a result and lack of joy. So I truly love waking up in the morning. My heart sings and I look at my calendar and I'm like, everything on there is what I chose and want to do. I love this.
Isn't that great to be able to choose your life? But let's take it back a few decades. Let's go back when you were growing up. What was it like for little John?
That was a few decades, by the way, because I am 41 years old now. So, I mean, you know, let's be honest, like I'm no spring chicken.
Oh, you're still younger than me, though, I must say.
Listen, I grew up in a very small town in Maine, under 2,000 people. It was a great childhood. I mean, my grandmother lived a mile down the road. My other grandmother was within 5 miles. There was a park a quarter mile down the street I could walk or bike to that we would play basketball and baseball, and sports were a big part of my life. And I just loved like that small town environment. And then I had the kind of the cool thing of some cousins that lived in Boston. So I got to go down to the big city every now and then. So I really had this like well-rounded childhood where it was kind of small town roots, but you know, some access to the big city. So I wasn't like this wide-eyed, like naive person when I went to college in Providence, Rhode Island. Like I was like, okay, I can handle this.
You can handle this. Well, the world has had some influence though on your life. What happened your senior year of college?
I spent 4 years in college as an Army cadet, and then my senior year in college, so my last year as a senior Army cadet, I woke up in that morning of 9/11, and the towers were burning and smoking, and I was like, wow, I know that in 6 months I'm being commissioned an officer in the U.S. Army, but holy crap, like this is going to be real now. Like I went from joining a peacetime Army, which you know, it was going to be serious and hard work, but, you know, we were just going to be a peacetime army to an army that was gearing up to go to war. And sure enough, you know, a year later, I was in Iraq. I was in charge of 4 tanks and 16 men. And it was a very intense 13-month tour of duty. You know, again, going from like this college student with very little to no, you know, responsibilities, so to speak, to I couldn't have had more responsibilities piled on my back. So it was quite the life shift to kind of like just flip that switch in such a short time frame. And, you know, that was the route that I had chose, though. You know, I had committed to 4 years in the Army and I was off to serve my country.
Well, I have to thank you for that service. My father served both Navy and Army. And
wow.
So I completely understand. He was 2 years as a Vietnam veteran and then also in the Gulf War. So thank you very much. And for all of our listeners and those who are watching online, it's one of those things that I think we take for granted. And we say, oh, we want to thank you. But no, I truly do, because I know what it's like not to wake up with the man, which was my father, that I love next to me. And so thank you for that, John.
Well, I appreciate your appreciation. I really do. And, you know, that's one thing that really is amazing about the U.S. Army is the support that we have from, you know, our fellow countrymen that we are, you know, there protecting. And, you know, even if, you know, individuals, you know, didn't necessarily always support, you know, the war efforts themselves, we always felt the support for the soldiers because, you know, they knew that we weren't the ones making the decisions. We were there because our chain of command told us we had to be there. And there were decisions that were made that were about 74 pay grades above us. But, you know, we were doing what, you know, we were told to do.
Yeah. Well, for that, thank you very much. But in that, of course, like you mentioned before, you led a group of soldiers. 4 of them paid the ultimate sacrifice. How have you honored their lives as you've walked this common path to uncommon success?
So that was one of the most difficult things of my life because, you know, when you deploy to a war, you know, you have like this essentially bon voyage party, for lack of a better word, and you get to meet all the mothers and the fathers and the wives and the siblings and the kids of everybody that's in your platoon. And, you know, I remember, you know, meeting all of the families and, you know, essentially saying what every lieutenant's supposed to say is like, you know, listen, I'm going to bring your loved one home. And I did not live up to that promise. And in fact, like I said, of the 16 men that we deployed with in my platoon, 4 of them paid that ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, I had to stand at the casket at their funerals, you know, while I was in Iraq, knowing that, you know, this casket was going to be shipped back for another funeral for their loved ones, knowing that I'd failed those people and that I'd failed the person who was in that casket. And so I decided to really deal with it in only the best way that I knew possible, which was to say, you know, I'm not going to just sulk in my own misery and failure here, but instead I'm going to make a pledge to these individuals that if I make it out of here, I'm going to live the best life that I'm capable of living. I'm not going to live some average, you know, pale, weak imitation of a life. I'm going all out. And, you know, not to skip too far ahead, but like I had to tap into that courage multiple times. Like when I was in law school, like I hated it. And I probably would have stayed in. And most people that were my peers stayed in because they thought they had to. But I was like, oh, man, I know how short life is. If I'm this miserable, what am I doing? Going to waste another 3 years in law school? Like I'm out. And it was a hard decision, but I had to tap that courage and that promise that I had made to those fallen soldiers. And I had to do that multiple times in my life. And you know, what that allowed me to do was to finally get it right. Because, you know, I got all these things wrong, but instead of like staying in any of those wrong things, which so many people do for their life, and then they have nothing but regret at the end of their life, I kept quitting and I kept changing and trying something new until something finally hit. And that something was Entrepreneurs on Fire.
Which it totally is on fire because you have interviewed over 3,000 entrepreneurs. I've lost count. I know when I found you, I was like, oh my gosh. And I can say this, I am a fellow daily podcaster. Not very many people do that because
it's hard.
But you have it more difficult actually because you're actually interviewing them. I'm doing my own stuff with interviews thrown in. So let's talk book. You did some self-publishing prior to, you have some journals. They were very successful. But you stumbled upon something not by accident, but by doing. And it was the 17-step roadmap to uncommon success that you lay out in this incredible book. What step did you get stuck in the most?
It's a very interesting question. So kind of step back here to like explain fully what that step was that like, you know, really mired me the most was I've interviewed over 3,000 successful entrepreneurs. And I decided it was finally time to like write the definitive answer to the questions that my audience asks me every single day. Like from my audience, I essentially get the same 10 questions. I mean, they're slightly different. They're phrased differently, of course, but they're essentially the exact same 10 questions. And unfortunately, I can't answer every email independently. I'm just like, there's no time in the world for that. But I can sit down and write the 100% total solution. And so I sat down and I said, let me boil down what all 3,000 of these guests that I've had on, all these successful entrepreneurs, let me boil down the commonalities that they all share together. And when I boiled it down and I looked down at that piece of paper, there were 17 core foundational principles. Tried to make it 18 to get to an even number, tried to chop it down to 16 for the same reason. There were 17. I couldn't even take one out because then the whole thing fell apart. And then I said, I'm going to put this in a chronological order so that everybody now, when I actually sit down and write this book, will have a 17-step roadmap to financial freedom and fulfillment. And we're talking step by step by step. Start at step one and go all the way through to step 17, period. That is the financial and freedom roadmap that I'm providing to you. That is your version of what I call uncommon success. And that's what I want for you. And honestly, there were a number of steps that kind of like slowed me down, but the one that really kind of stopped me in my tracks was step 7, chapter 7. The average chapter in this book is 3,500 words. This whole book is 71,000 words. It's 273 pages. Like this book is a beast of a book. Chapter 7 is 13,500 words just by itself. It could be a business book, just chapter 7. So that was what stopped me. I was just like, oh my God, because I'm like writing this chapter. And then the next week, I'm still writing the same chapter. I'm like, is this chapter ever going to end? But I knew I had to, you know, give it everything and then put everything in there that needed to be there. And by the end, I was looking at it and I was like, wow, this is actually so telling to me. Like, this is what stopped and slowed me down at the beginning of my journey. I couldn't figure out the step, which is creating a content production plan. And I struggled so much as a result. And I worked so, so hard to like force and grind my way through when it didn't have to be that difficult. It did not have to be that hard. And so we today, as you and I are talking, have a fantastic content production plan. Like it is a 10 out of 10. It took us a decade to get here. Let's be honest. It used to be terrible, but it's a 10 out of 10. And I'm also going to be honest with people that are listening right now. I'm willing to bet that your content production plan is terrible. Mine was terrible. I bet yours is too. I really do. But guess what? It gets a little bit better every time you do that thing or you read about somebody who has a fantastic content production plan and they give you all the steps, the entire roadmap, everything you need to create an amazing content production plan now. So this is going to be work, by the way. This is 13,500 words, just that chapter. But when you put in the work and you have a content production plan for probably the first time in your life that's not terrible, but awesome, your life will change.
Well, and what's interesting, you mentioned freedom. And that's one of the things that brings you joy is having that. Well, when you look at your business, that shows up also on your calendar as into what you want as your lifestyle as a whole.
Boom.
And, you know, that's really important. And you've been able to crossbreed that, which is incredible. So you all are going to want to pick up your own copy of The Common Path to Uncommon Success, a roadmap to financial freedom and fulfillment.
And let me expound on that because your point is so true. I'm in book promotion mode right now. So, I mean, my schedule is kind of crazy all over the place. I'm actually doing 54 interviews this week. Like, that's what I'm doing. I'm just committed. I'm going all in.
So what are you drinking? That's what I got to say.
this is your hazelnut coffee right here. Ooh. This will be my last cup of the day, though, because I'm almost in my caffeine curfew. Then I'm moving on to my ginger and lemon tea. I also have this great tea. This is great for any interviewers. It's called Throat Coat. You can just order on Amazon, and it's like a licorice flavor, but it does really wonders for your coating your vocal cords, which is amazing. But one thing I do want to add to what you're saying. So in my normal life, which will happen this coming April again, I'll get back to normal, 5 days per month not per week. I work 5 days per month. Now, granted, those 5 days I'm working hard. These are monster days. But my content production plan is so fantastic, you know, after a decade of building it, that I'm able to literally be in cruise control 25 days per month. It's possible. And that's on a business that's still netting over $2 million a year.
That's incredible. And hats off, because some people now would hear money, right? They hear cha-ching, 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 but you are not just keeping that money for yourself. Some of it, of course, you are, but you are actually impacting the world that you touch.
So true. It is so true. That is like the commitments that I have, is really just being that impact. Like, not to get too detailed right now, because I know you have some other great questions, but like, for me, everything that I do is about the ripple effect. It is about inspiring somebody right now, hearing my voice. They're going to go do something right now that they might not otherwise have done, and inspire a whole host of people who have never heard the name John Lee Dumas or Entrepreneurs on Fire or anything, but now they're going to go off and inspire their sect of people, and it's going to continue on and so forth. And this ripple effect, it's an amazing force.
It's an incredible force. And you're in Puerto Rico. So, you know, I think of oceans and sunsets and sunrises. Oh my gosh.
All of the above.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Okay. So on the flip side, what is your favorite step?
So my favorite step is actually the final step. And this is a step, if I'm just being honest, most people are never going to truly master. I want it for you. I want it so bad, because like, I experience it, and it's such an amazing feeling, because it leads to that freedom that we talked about. It leads to that joy that we talked about. It's keeping the money you make. I mean, listen, these first 16 steps, you will be crushing it. You will have your big idea. You're going to have the niche that you need to dominate. You're going to be making, you know, money. You're going to be making money. You're going to be building traffic and increasing. You're going to be doing all those things. But all those things aren't enough if you're not, at the end of the day, still keeping the money that you make. And there's a lot of people that we really admire out there, by the way, who are doing awesome things, adding so much value, inspiring so many people, and they're doing all the right things, and they're making a lot of money. And if you could just get a screenshot of their bank account, you'd be like, oh, what's happening there? Because it is so hard to keep the money you make in this world. And I'm speaking from experience. I used to make millions of dollars a year living in San Diego, and still running a lean team. But even with that, I'm like, where's all the money at the end of the year? It's literally almost impossible to keep the money you make unless you really implement a strong system to do so. And I made the switch. I made a couple big key moves that made some big changes, but then a ton of smaller things too, that they really add up over time. And like, again, not making this all about money, but like, there's a reason why they say the rich get richer, is because it takes money to make money. Like, when you actually have money that you can invest, in companies, stocks, you know, cryptocurrency, real estate, you know, diversifying your portfolio. What about investing in yourself too? Like your business, you know, ad spend, you can invest money in all of these things. Like, yes, that's how you start, you even make more money. And let me be honest, like, I am a believer that money alone cannot buy happiness, but I'm also a believer that the lack of money makes it pretty hard to really be happy, because now you're doing what you have to do, not like what you want to do. And again, going back to my joy, I want to do what I want to do. And by the way, the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that we've donated to causes that we love over the years has brought us so much happiness. Being able to hand a blank check to a cause that you believe in, if that doesn't bring you happiness, then A, you need to check your pulse. But B, again, the people that say money can't buy happiness, they've never been able to do that simple act, because if they did, they would second guess that comment.
Oh, that's so good, John. And you're right. Money doesn't bring happiness, but money can allow us to help change the world and impact it and make it even better than what it is, along with giving what you call your joy, that freedom. Because I know there's some congratulations happening in your life. You have a little sweetheart on your arm, which she is, oh my gosh, she is incredible. You guys are definitely a power couple for sure. So congratulations on everything up and coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Christmas Day, I popped that question.
Oh, wow. Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, everything Christmas. I'm sure she was just absolutely thrilled beyond. Well, you know, many of us are bombarded with ideas. For the ones who have too many ideas, because, you know, you sit around, you're like, oh my gosh, I could do this. Oh, wait, I could do this. where would you tell them to begin?
I would be very clear with them. I would say, listen, you need one big idea. I'm not telling you to go out and find 10 big ideas or 5 big ideas or even 2 big ideas. I'm telling you to identify your singular big idea in this world. There's a phrase that I love more than most any other phrases that I have, and that's off the word focus, which is follow one course until success. Because when you focus, when you follow one course until success, you actually have a chance to do the following. You have a chance to become the number one solution to a real problem in this world. And when you can become the number one solution to a real problem, everything, and I mean everything, changes, because now people will beat a path down to your door. You are never going to become the best solution to a real problem if you don't focus. And that's where so many people fail and struggle. People don't want the second best. They don't want the 10th best solution. They don't want the 100th best solution. Give them the best solution to a real problem and you will win.
And you've done that. I mean, your book came from you finding that one big idea that you had, even though you tried lots of them. I mean, you call it 6 years of struggles. And so, you know, you really said, this is where I'm at and this is where I'm going to pinpoint it.
That was my problem during those 6 years, is I was just like dipping my toe and trying a bunch of different things and like making no impact, because I didn't know that advice. I didn't understand that concept. But when I finally understood that concept at 32 years old and finally focused on one thing and finally went all in and created, by the way, the best daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. It was also the worst daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. It was the only daily podcast interviewing entrepreneurs. Guess what? If you are the only, you're also the best. And that is a win as well. So you can think about it that way.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. I love it. Well, in your book, you actually highlight successful entrepreneurs. You tell your story throughout, but then in each chapter, with each step, there is an entrepreneur that you highlight that really kind of maps out that particular step that is being worked upon. But we've already mentioned that 3,000 plus entrepreneurs you've interviewed. Of all of them, which entrepreneur has had the greatest impact on you and why?
You know, I'd say the person that had the greatest impact on me was my first mentor, Jamie Masters. This was a person who was running a successful business podcast. She had been doing it for about a year and a half at that point, The Eventual Millionaire. And I just needed one person to tell me, hey, John, your idea isn't crazy. Hey, John, like, what we do as podcasters isn't like silly, isn't some like, you know, we're really helping people, we're really being listened to, we're really impacting lives. I just needed that person that was like my guiding mentor, who had been there, who had done that, who was where I wanted to be in this world. And Jamie was that for me. And so like, she validated that my idea, you know, wasn't stupid. And like, that's literally like all I needed. I mean, I needed all the other things she told me as well, but that was like the one thing I needed to hear to take the first step. And like, if, you know, if I hadn't found somebody like that, if I hadn't found the right mentor, I don't know where I'd be.
Well, you were mine. So, you know, cheers to you. I love it. Well, when you were searching for what you wanted to be when you grew up, right, way back when, you asked yourself one question that changed everything. And so today I want to ask you that question. What is something you wish existed in the world that doesn't?
So to kind of back up, because I think it's important to kind of set context here, it was when I was listening to a podcast, I was, you know, saying, I love this concept of podcasting. Like, what is missing though? Like, what is my biggest complaints about this medium of podcasting that I love? Because if I want to get into the game, I want to create the best solution to a real problem. And the answer was pretty simple, to be honest. It was, I wish that there was a daily podcast. I wish that existed. And I decided to follow Gandhi's advice there and be that change that I wanted to see in the world. And that allowed me to create this podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire. And that was so key back then. So fast forward 2021 now, here we are, like you're asking me, like, what do I wish existed in this world right now? I wish that there existed a really amazing organization that helped match up people with accountability partners, with other people that could be in their masterminds. Because I have a very specific step in this, which is all about joining and creating a mastermind. And everybody does it wrong. And they don't get much value because they do it wrong. you have to do this part of the process right. And one of the toughest things is finding the right people for your mastermind, either finding the mastermind or creating it yourself. And if we could just have like thousands and then tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of mastermind, of accountability groups, of masterminds, of, you know, just peers getting together, you know, running a mastermind the right way, which again, nobody does, the world would be such a different place.
Oh, I love that. Just is that a little sneak peek of maybe what's coming later?
Unfortunately, no. It's just not a solution that I want to create. And that's one thing I tell people. It's like, you're going to come up with 100 ideas in your life, maybe thousands, and they're all going to be good. But you need to really say, do I want to create the solution to that? Because you have to want to create that solution. And I wish it existed. I'm not going to create that. Hmm. So it's to the world.
It's to the world. Well, y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of The Common Path to Uncommon Success, A Roadmap to Financial Freedom and Fulfillment. Well, before I let you go, I have one final question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Perspective. Hmm. Perspective. You know, knowing that when I wake up and I have a bad day, you know, like something's happening with our house here, or it's raining out, which doesn't happen often, but it happens. Or, you know, this happens in the business, that happens. And I'm just like, oh man. But then I'm like, whoa, snap out of it. Come on. Like, you're running a multi-million dollar business. You're doing what you want, where you want to do it, with whom you want to do it with. Like, your life is awesome. Like, there's of course going to be some up days and some down days, but get a grip. You know, like, are you being shot at right now? Are there mortar rounds dropping to your left and to your right? And like, that's kind of one of my things, you know, that gives me great perspective, is I can always kind of mentally and visually go back there like that. You know, that's what memories can do for you. So perspective.
Oh, I love that. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you and tell us more about the book?
Well, listen, all the magic happens at eofire.com. So if you want to check out our websites, but Entrepreneurs on Fire is our podcast. You can find it any podcasting directory. But the big call to action is visit uncommonsuccess.com. You're going to see the 5 amazing bonuses that we have there for anybody who pre-orders this book. Just one single pre-order, I'm literally shipping all 3 of my journals to your door, on my dime. This is for everybody that lives in the USA. Outside the USA, I'm immediately emailing you the beautiful digital packs of all 3 journals. There's also 4 other amazing bonuses. There's endorsements from Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, Neil Patel, Erica Mandy, Dory Clark. The first chapter is there, so you can read it and see if you like my writing style. And then also there's a video of me jumping in my pool with all my clothes on and then telling you all about the book, uncommonsuccessbook.com.
We'll have all this information in the show notes. Chanlee Dumas, thank you so much for leading the path to uncommon success. Many blessings.
Thank you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.